This is Staff Sergeant Walter Ward. I was at Tancan during the siege and overrun of Tancan. On the morning of the 23rd of April, we started receiving heavy incoming from 122 rockets and 130 artillery pieces. It was a seizure that lasted throughout the day and continued on through the night. Overall, in approximately a 24-hour period, we received probably 250 or maybe 300 rounds of artillery. The siege started to overrun Tancan about 1,100 hours the night of the 23rd. No tanks were sighted or heard east of Dato District and a road that goes into Tumarong Valley, I believe. The tanks maneuvered out, and we had Stinger aircraft and Victor aircraft up, and they were shooting at them. They countered in the vicinity of 15 to 20 tanks, six of which they knocked out. The tanks were all on the road moving south towards Tancan. They were running at fairly high speeds, average of 20 to 30 miles an hour. There was two of them that made it into Tancan, and that stopped the firing on that because of the security of the village itself. They were in the geographical limits of the village then, the two of them. Vector Bird and Stinger Bird continued to shoot at them. They were interrupted somewhat by P-52 strikes. They had to move out of the area to clear for P-52s. But the tanks took advantage of this and moved on in closer to Tancan. I don't know how many was in the village at one time. I was in a little bunker, fighting bunker, in the northeast corner of the MACV compound at Tancan. I had a radio and I was monitoring all transmissions. The shelling never stopped all day, and, well, like I said, all day and through the night. There were four rounds at a time, sometimes two rounds at a time, coming in about every 2 or 3 to 5 minutes. Well, there was very little sleep, but a lot going on. The regimental TOC had got destroyed that day, and the 42nd RCAT TOC was being substituted as 22nd Division Forward TOC. There was a lot of Arvin officers and American officers in there trying to coordinate and get the tank stopped. Then early the next morning, just prior to daylight, the tanks had moved around the perimeter. One was on the northwest side of the perimeter, and another one was on the south side of the perimeter. There were two or three more that had maneuvered in just where, I'm not sure. But the northwest corner of the compound is the closest tank. There was two to MACV compound. There was efforts made to subdue the tank, kill it, but it seemed effortless. There was B-40s being fired by infantry ground troops that were a short distance behind the tank. They were kind of clearing a path. Also, the artillery was moving. It was very well coordinated. the tank finally blasted his way through the rear gate to the compound, which is closed. It's not open. It's got barbed wire, strands and strands and strands of barbed wire. He managed to get through there and shot several rounds into the MACV compound, and then he turns south, headed towards the regiment motor pool. At this time, he went directly in front of where we were gathered, the advisory team. We were off staged to go to the perimeter. It was one officer, I'm not sure who it was. I know one Lieutenant Jones fired a LAW rocket at a tank, and they had failed to stop it. Then there was another officer, I'm not sure who, that did knock the tank out and set it on fire, and it blew up. There were infantry troops all over the place. It was dangerous to move. We were all in a little group spread out 5 meters apart or so, and we made it to the old artillery compound that used to belong to the 7th or 15th Artillery back in 1969 and 70, which had been leveled and made a helipad out of it for Cobras. We worked our way over to there. There were snipers shooting at us. And at this point is when the two Kiowas came in to extract us. They took two people or three people at a time to Dokto Airstrip, which is west of Tankan, about 2,000 meters. I was in the second sortie to go out. The only remaining people were Captain Stewart, Colonel McLean, and Colonel Kaplan. They were the last ones to leave. Then there was a bird came back and picked them up and brought them back to Pleiku, or so I was told today. When we got to Dokto 2, we received pretty heavy small arms fire as we were landing. And the advisors there, two of them, Major and Lieutenant Colonel, were being issued orders, verbal orders over the radio at that time to evacuate. They were to abandon the compound, proceed southeast along the river to a pickup zone below Tankan, probably a 3-hour walk. We were going to walk out with them, but then someone decided that they could get the sea and seabird up to pick us up and we could fly out. So this seemed a feasible idea. So we called the bird and he came to pick us up. He came in, we popped a smoke for him, he landed inside the compound. Everyone rushed on to the bird and he picked up and banked left out of the area right into a hot spot. They had two or three 51s and some light machine guns set up and waiting for us. We hadn't. I came to, and Captain Keller was putting a bandage on my head. I had a real bad cut on the back of my head. He was bandaging that up. And I could tell that my left arm was broken. Okay, Captain Keller was bandaging me up, and I didn't know. I could hear the aircraft burning. I couldn't get up or anything. I specifically remember him asking him not to leave me. I thought that possibly, since it was a hot LZ, that everybody was going to run, and I might be the only one that was left there. But that's pretty erratical thinking. Well, after Captain Keller got me all bandaged up, I was laying in the grass. I could hear the machine gun fire and small arm fire all over the place. I could hear the aircraft burning up. There was a lot of secondary explosions coming out of the aircraft. I could hear Captain Keller and somebody else talking a few feet away from me. I couldn't see them. Later on that day, they moved me at my own request into the little ravine where everyone else was. There was Major Warmath, Spec 4 Zollicoffer, Spec 5 Vogel, Spec 4 Lee, and Captain Keller were all there. They had salvaged, Specialist Lee had. He wasn't hurt as much as anyone else. He's shaken up. He had salvaged parts of the aircraft and erected shade for as many people as he could to keep the sun off of them. Everybody was pretty well banged up, and I'm sure that everyone else, like myself, was expecting that any minute the NVA would come and get us. But miraculously, they never showed for 14 days. So the first day went by fine. Specialist Lee nursemaided the group. Kept everybody as comfortable as possible, and was very helpful, very constructive, very conservative in bandaging people, taking care of their wounds, getting water, providing shade. He managed to salvage ammunition and a machine gun from the aircraft. We had that set up on one end of our little ravine to cover a wide place leading to the river. One thing that was in our favor, the grass was very tall, probably shoulder high. This kept us camouflaged, pretty much. Everyone just laid around the first day and the first night and slept as much as we could. It rained the first night. The next day then presented new problems for everyone. I could barely move around at this point. Captain Keller, he couldn't move. Major Warman couldn't move. Zollicoffer couldn't move. Vogel couldn't move. And the only one that was mobile was Specialist Lee. So he again erected shades for us, got water, acquired reflectors for signaling aircraft, pieced up all the smoke grenades that he could find, just various things to make life easier for us and help us to a faster rescue. On the second day, things were about the same. The daily chores to get the water, the shade, the bandages, the hurts, and that. I believe. Sorry.
I think just kind of go around and mention sort of the condition each person was in, what each person was able to do for the group, kind of thing, and what you were.
Well, as far as myself, I could contribute nothing to the group. My left arm was broken and my right arm was dislocated. I couldn't move around very well. if someone would help me stand up on the third day, I could stand up okay, but I couldn't do anything. Major Wormath had a fractured pelvis. He couldn't move except to lay down and sit up. He couldn't contribute anything. Specialist Vogel had a fractured right arm, fractured in the elbow, and also his back was hurt. He's having bad pains in his back. Spetvor Zolikoffer, the medic, was in very bad shape. He had a broken leg above the knee, his left leg, and about 90% of the right cheek of his hind bottom had been severed off, just leaving a big bloody mass. Everyone stayed calm and cool as best they could, and Specialist Lee was extremely helpful in taking care of the wounded, bandaging them and caring for them, providing food and water. The only food we had was three individual meals of sea rations, which were shared equally among the group. We've been there 4 days, and I think 3 days, and an Arvin soldier from the 47th Regiment came to us. He was wounded also, and he stayed with us until the day we were extracted, but he left early. I guess he got tired of the group. We made, Specialist Lee made attempts to recon the area, find food, and after the Arvin got there, he went with him, and they picked greens of a sort. Looked more or less like a weed to me, but it didn't have a bad flavor. We boiled these and ate them. I wasn't able to eat anything, so I just drank the broth from what had been cooked. There was an abundance of water. Nobody had to worry about water. We had plenty of water. The only critical thing was the food. On the fifth day, I could move around pretty good. I believe it was the fourth day or the fifth day that Specialist Zolikoffer died. I guess he just got some internal injuries, possibly, that we didn't know about. But, the first two or three days, he was very calm, collected, rested, and he grew restless, and we couldn't control him, and he just finally collapsed and died. Specialist Lee had buried one of the pilots who died about an hour and a half or 2 hours after the crash, and he buried Specialist Zolikoffer. And I believe it was on the eighth day or ninth day that Specialist Lee and Captain Keller decided that they would venture into Dokto 2 area to see if they could buy some food from the mountain yards. They had, I think, about 3,000 piastres. Well, they left, and we never saw them again. They never came back. Of course, we assumed that they had been either killed or captured by the enemy. We had no way of knowing that they were going on, but we were really hoping that's what was happening. They've talked to me about their ordeal, and, well, God blessed us all. But the big thing that that kept us all going was the first 3 days. Specialist Lee babysitted the group. If it hadn't been for that, I'm sure we would have all died of heat and exposure to the sun, lack of water.